السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. ربي زدنا علما. اللهم فقهنا في الدين. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we're going to cover ayat 146 to 151 of Surah Ali Imran today. We'll begin with the word meanings, starting with ayah number 146. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. و and كأين, how many, من, from, نبيين, a prophet, قاتل, fought, معه, ma'a means with, who, him, and the who refers to the prophet. Ribbiyuna. Ribbiyun comes from the word rab, which means lord, okay, which means God. And ribbiyun is the word used to describe people who are devoted to God. So ribbiyun, devoted to Rabb or Lord, kathir, many. Fama, fa, so, ma, not. Wahanu, they lost heart. This comes from the word wahan, waw, ha, noon, which means to become weak, okay, to become lazy or lose courage. So, fama, wahanu, so did not they lose heart or become weak. Lima, li, for. Ma, what. Asaba, reached. Hum, them. Fi, in. Sabili, way. Allahi, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa, and. Ma, not. Da'ufu, this comes from the word Dod Ain Fa, which means daif, okay, or daif, and that means weak. Okay, so da'ufu, they weakened. This is a verb. And we know it's plural because it ends in waw sukun followed by the silent aleph. Wa and ma did not. Istaganu, they gave in, or they showed passiveness. And again, this is a verb and it's plural because it ends in vaw sukun followed by the alif. Wa and Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yuhibbu, he loves. Hubban means love. You in the beginning means he. So yuhibbu, he loves. Asabirin, those who endure with patience. Sabr is the root word and that means patience. Sabir is somebody who is patient, and the ina ending makes this word plural. So asabirin, those who endure with patience. Wa and ma, not. Kana, it was. Qawlahum, qawl means a saying. Hum, theirs. Illa, except. An, that. Qalu, they said. And again, this is the same word as qul that we just learned in qawlahum, but this becomes a verb in this case, and it's plural because it ends in vaw sukun followed by the alif. So qalu, they said. Rabbana, rabb means lord or sustainer, master. Na, ours. Ighfir, forgive. Lana, la, for. Na, us. Dhunubana, dhunub is plural for the word dhamb, Dhanb means a sin. So dhunub means sins, na, ours. Wa, and israfana. Israf means excesses, na, ours. So israfana, our excesses, fi, in, amrina. Amr means a matter. So na, in the end, just means ours. So amrina, our matter. Wa, and thabbit, make firm or make stable. Akodamana. Akodam is plural for the word qadam, which means foot. Okay, so akodam means feet, na, ours. Wa, and unsurna. Nasr is the root word here, and that means help. So unsurna, and help us, ala, upon or against. Al means the, qawm means nation or people. Al-kafirin, those who disbelieve. This comes from kufr, which means disbelief. Kaf, fa, ra, that is the root word. And kafir means a disbeliever. An ina ending makes this word plural. So al-kafirin means those who disbelieve. Fa, so, ata, he gave, whom, them. Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thawaba, thawab means reward. Ad-dunya, of the world, the near. Wa, and husna, excellent. Thawabi, reward. Al-akhirah, the hereafter. Wallahu, wa, and Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yuhibbu, he loves, al-muhsineen, those who do ihsan. Ihsan is the root word. Hasan means something that's beautiful, right? Something that is good. And ihsan means to do something to the level of excellence. So muhsin, adding a meme at the beginning of the word makes this word a noun. So muhsin is somebody who does things to the level of ihsan, to the level of excellence. And muhsinin, the ina ending, just makes the word plural. So al-muhsinin means those who do utmost good. Ya ayyuhalladhina. Ya ayyuha just means oh. It's a word that's used to address. Okay, so O, alladhina, those who, amanu, they believed, in, if, tuti'u, you all obey. Ita'at, ta'ain is the root word, and that means to obey, to follow. Tu in the beginning just means you, and the vow in the end followed by the alif tells us this word is plural. So tuti'u, you all obey, alladhina, those who, kafaru, they disbelieved. Yaruddukum. They will turn you back. Yaruddu. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person. And waw, sukun in the end, means at the end of this section of the word, before the pronoun kum. The waw sukun tells us it means they. This is plural. It doesn't just mean he. So yaruddu, they will turn back. Kum, all of you, ala, upon, aqabikum. Aqab, the same word that we learned last week, means heels, kum, yours. Fa tanqalibu, fa, then, tanqalibu. We learned the root word of this as well last week, and it comes from qalb, which means heart, right? Because the condition of the heart changes. It goes back and forth. So, it means to turn back. In this case, ta in the beginning means you. Waw sukun at the end followed by the alif means this is plural. So fatahun qalibu, then you will all turn back, khasirin, as ones who are losers. Khasara, khasirin ra is the root word and that means a loss. Khasirin means ones who lose. Bal, rather. Allahu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Mawla. Mawla means protector, guardian. Kum, yours. Wa and huwa, he is. Khair, khair means the best. An-nasirin, of those who help. This comes from the word nasr, which means help. And the noon having that standing fatha on it, the madad tabi'i sign, makes this a noun. So nasir means somebody who helps. And ina ending just makes this word plural. So an-nasirin, those who are helpers or those who help. Sanulqi, sa in the beginning means soon. Noon means we. And alqa means to cast or to put. So sanulqi, soon we will cast. Fi, in, qulub, hearts. This is plural for the word qalb, which means heart. So qulub, hearts. Alladhina, of those who, kafaru, they disbelieved. Arroba, al means that, and roab means terror or fear. Bima, be, because of, ma, what, ashraku, they did shirk. Shirk is the root word, and that means to associate partners with Allah. And the waw sukun in the end tells us this word is plural. So ashraku, they did shirk, or they associated partners, be, with Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma, that which, lam, did not, yunazil, he sends down. Yu in the beginning means he, and nazil, we learned already, means to send down or reveal. Bihi, be, with, he, it, sultanan, any authority. Wa and ma'wa, ma'wa means abode or a place of refuge. Hum, theirs, an-nar, the hellfire. Wa and bi'sa, how evil or how bad. Mathwa, abode. Al-dhalimin, of those who do injustice. Dhulm is the root word, and that means injustice. And dhalim means somebody who is unjust. And dhalimin means those. Al-dhalimin means those who do injustice. Alhamdulillah. Inshallah, we'll begin the tafsir of these ayat. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَكَأَيِّمْ مِن نَبِيٍّ قَاتَلَ مَعَهُ رِبِّيُّونَ كَثِيرٌ. In the past, many of the prophets have fought in the way of Allah with a large number of people who were devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Muslims that this was not the first time people were fighting a battle in the way of Allah. Many prophets were sent by Allah, and the believers fought alongside the prophets. Okay, they've fought alongside many of the prophets that were sent. And we don't even know the names of all the prophets because there were so many of them. And they're not all mentioned in the Quran. So we don't know their stories. But we do know that there were 124,000 prophets total. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in this ayah that many of the prophets fought battles in the way of Allah, and believers fought on their side. There is a lesson the Muslim should learn from this, from what those people did when they were afflicted with misfortunes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the believers to do the same thing, because they're not the first to go through those issues. So what did the believers, the Ribbiyun, the believers of the past do? فَمَا وَهَنُوا لِمَا أَصَابَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. They did not lose heart during the adversities that struck them in the path of Allah. They faced those challenges without losing courage or giving up. They tried their best to be strong and remain steadfast, because that is what needs to be done in hard times. And life is full of tests. So we have to struggle a lot to get through certain situations. Remember what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us is in one of the ayat before? تِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا. These are the days that we alternate for people. So situations do change in life. Nothing always stays the same. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those people were struck with calamities when they were at war and when they were fighting in the way of Allah. But they acted a certain way in order to overcome those difficulties. So what should we do when we go through problems? He wants us to act like those people, the Rabbani people, the Ribbiyun that he gives us the example of, because they were the God lovers who lived among the prophets. So what did they do? They didn't lose hope or give up. وَمَا دَعُوفُ. And they did not show weakness. They didn't get lazy or act like they were physically weak. وَمَسْتَكَانُوا. And they did not submit to falsehood. They didn't just give in or stop doing their work because of pressure from the enemy or because of what others were doing or saying. If we think about it, so many people give in to peer pressure just to fit in. And it doesn't just happen to kids, like most of us believe. It happens with grown-ups too. Many women feel embarrassed when they don't have the things their friends do, just because they want to be like them. They don't want to be left out when it comes to having new clothes or cars or things for their homes that their friends do. Even though they tell their kids that they shouldn't give in to peer pressure, they do so themselves. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that people who are devoted to Allah do not feel the need to do things because of peer pressure or because they feel weak. We all know that we're not fighting in the battleground among those people who fought alongside the prophets. We're not like them. But when it comes to so many things in life, we easily give up. We lose hope when we go through troubles so quickly. At times we give in to things that we really don't want to do. And Allah does not approve of those things. But we still do them just because we don't want to go against our family, whether it's a husband who wants us to do something, our in-laws, or our kids, or other people around us. We lose all these battles that should be fought in the path of Allah. But we should not give up and leave the battleground just because problems come up. We should not be discouraged if people laugh at us when we're trying to obey Allah, or if they're saying things to show their disapproval. We shouldn't worry when things like that happen, because people who were devoted to Allah were steadfast. They didn't care about these other things. Wallahu yuhibbu sabirin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the steadfast, those who endure with patience. They don't lose heart or weaken, and they don't give in to falsehood because they are patient. So anyone who does these things that the Rabbani people did is also patient, according to Allah, because that's how He defines patience, people who do these things. So anyone who does these things is steadfast, no matter what anyone else says. That person continues because they're not bothered by what other people have to say. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Muslims all this when some of them were giving up hope at the Battle of Uhud, because they were so heartbroken and some were starting to run off. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed them that there were people before them who went through all these things too. In fact, we learned, مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا. touched them or struck them, adversities and calamities, and they were badly shaken. We learned how they were brutally tortured just for being Muslim. They were buried alive. Iron combs were run over their bodies. Their heads were split into two pieces using saws. They went through so much just to protect their iman. We don't have to go through those sorts of difficulties to be able to practice Islam now. So why are we still so lazy? And why do we feel so weak? We're not steadfast. Whenever we start doing anything good, we don't carry on for too long because we're not determined enough. And we give up as soon as someone says anything against us. Or we start getting bored. So we just turn away because we're just so emotional. But if we continue acting that way, we cannot be like the Ribbiyun, the people who are so devoted to Allah. And we often wish that we would have been born around the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But wouldn't we have disappointed him if we had been around at the same time as him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, people who fought alongside the prophets did not give up. They did not become weak or show passiveness to falsehood. So we have to try to be firm in our intentions. And we have to try to not be lazy or give in to sins just to please other people. We should not need others to motivate us. We shouldn't need that for other people to lecture us all the time. We should be steadfast and know that people before us went through difficulties too to be able to practice deen. So we have to be patient and remain steadfast, and we have to be resilient to overcome those problems. We should not seek approval from others when doing anything to please Allah. We shouldn't need that. We should be ready to bear difficulties in the way of deen, because we know it's not an easy path. We've been warned already, and we should be prepared to tolerate negative things that others will say. There will be people who will even stop seeing you when you try to practice Islam more. But should that even matter? It does not matter. Okay? And we shouldn't stop practicing whatever we're doing if we're following the orders of Allah just because someone stops talking to us as much or seeing us as much. It should not matter. We have to stay firm on the path of Allah, no matter what. And that means that we have to be patient. Patience is required to be steadfast. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He loves those who are patient. Those who love Allah more than anything else are upright. They don't go off track. They don't care about other people's reactions when they follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands. There's a hadith that tells us when someone disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to try to please others, Allah makes those other people upset with that person. And when someone does something to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that upsets others, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes those people pleased with that person. Subhanallah. Many times, people complain that they did so much for someone, but that person is still not happy with them. That's because they upset Allah in the process of trying to please that person. But if they had just focused on pleasing Allah, He would have made that other person pleased with whoever was trying to please him. So we should never disobey Allah in trying to please others. Even if it's our own family, our kids, or our best friends. Because that would be a great loss. And by the time we realize, it's too late. and we end up feeling so hurt and we're heartbroken. So let's try to stick to the following rule. I am never going to disobey Allah for anyone else. Once we keep this in mind, that I'm not going to disobey Allah for other people, life becomes easy. And we don't have to think about others all the time or worry about what someone might be thinking about us or if someone's upset with us, whatever. Instead, just focus on Allah. Let others be upset if they want to be. If it's for the wrong reasons, should we really be aiming to please them anyway? Allah will make them happy with you one day anyway. Trust Him. So far, we learned that the Rabbani people did not show weakness or act lazy or submit to falsehood, nor did they lose heart. They never gave up, so they were steadfast. We should remember that on our path of seeking ilm or knowledge of the Quran, we have to keep going, even when it seems so difficult. Just keep doing it. Just continue. And remember, that's the only way to succeed. And Allah will make it easy for you if you keep going. And remember that Allah loves the patient ones. Okay, because He just told us that. He loves the patient ones. So don't let others influence you into disobeying Him. He doesn't just say that He is with those who are patient. He says He loves them. We don't need anything else if we can attain the love of Allah. So we just need to try to be among those people who Allah loves. In these ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to comfort the believers who showed weakness from the example of the Rabbani people, the Ribbiyun. So they would be motivated to be steadfast and to not run off. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the people of the past who were so devoted to Allah a little bit more. So that's ayah 147. وَمَا كَانَ قَوْلَهُمْ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا. Their only words were, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَإِسْرَافَنَا. Our Lord, forgive our sins and our excesses. Subhanallah. This is what they said after going through so many difficulties. They never complained that they faced so many hardships when they had to accompany the prophets to go and fight or to be able to practice Islam. They didn't think that they were so great for everything they had done. Instead, they remembered their sins and they sought forgiveness for those sins, for their mistakes or whatever shortcomings were in their work. They remembered all those things and they sought forgiveness. When people oppose us, when we try to follow the orders of Allah, think about what we should think about what we did wrong or what we are doing wrong at that point. And whenever we are afflicted with misfortunes, we should think about our sins and think that we must have done something wrong, something to displease Allah. And say that to Allah. Say to Him, I must have done something wrong, O Allah. Please forgive me. Don't say that to people. Okay? Because we don't need to say to people that we must have done something wrong, because sometimes they will misguide us. And we should never say, what did I do to deserve all this? Never say that. Dhunub is the word that is used for the smaller sins. And israf are the greater sins, the excesses. So those people asked Allah to forgive their sins and their excesses. These are the du'as that they made. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا. A person's du'as reflect how they really feel inside. so we can figure out what we or someone else loves the most by the du'as they make. That can help us determine what someone really cares about the most, this life or the hereafter. And we can get an idea of what that person thinks about the most. So the people devoted to Allah don't blame others for what they do wrong. They say that they made a mistake and they ask Allah to forgive them. And they ask for Allah's help. وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا and establish our feet firmly. They don't assert that they are so strong that nobody can lead them astray, ever. They never say that. They ask Allah to make them stable, to make them firm. And this is what we should all do when trying to remain steadfast. Remember the dua we learned at the beginning of Surah Ali Imran? رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. Oh, our Lord, do not let our hearts deviate after guiding us. Okay, we need to make du'as like that because the condition of people's hearts does change. Just because we are studying the Quran one day or fulfilling an order of Allah happily right now does not mean we will always be this way. So we should make du'a to be able to continue. There are so many people who continue to study the Quran for such a long time, and then suddenly they stop one day. And then there are others who cover up nicely. So many women who cover up nicely and they wear a hijab, but suddenly they stop and they go back to their old ways. And there are people who stop praying Salah after having done it for so many years. They suddenly stop. So we have to ask Allah to keep us firm on His path. And that can only happen with the tawfiq from Allah, if He grants us that ability. So we have to ask Him for help in being firm on deen. And that is what the God lovers did. وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ and give us victory over the disbelievers, or against the disbelievers. They asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help them, even though they were fighting alongside prophets. But they still didn't expect that the help of Allah would definitely be on their side, because they were not overconfident. They always looked to Allah for help against the disbelievers. فَآتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ ثَوَابَ الدُّنْيَا وَحُسْنَ ثَوَابِ الْآخِرَةِ. So Allah gave them the reward in this world, and also an excellent reward awaits them in the hereafter. Remember what we learned before? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards people in this world if they want that reward here. And He rewards people in the hereafter if they want it there, for anything good they do. But for those devoted to Allah, for people like that, He says that He will reward them in this world and the hereafter, because they are not lazy and they don't lose courage and they're not led astray because of what other people say. And this applies to God lovers nowadays as well, not just people of the past. Okay, it applies to people who are devoted to Allah now too, even though there are no more prophets around that they can go and fight alongside. They will be rewarded with the best in this life and the hereafter, because they are steadfast. And they ask Allah to help them without being proud of whatever they may be doing. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who do utmost good. He tells us that He loves those who do everything beautifully to a level of excellence, as if they are professionals in that field. That's how they do their work. That is why Allah will reward them in this world as well as the hereafter. The reward in this world means victory and honor. And the reward of the hereafter is Jannah, the approval of Allah and forgiveness. And that is better. Husna thawab al-akhirah, an excellent reward in the hereafter. Because no matter how great the reward is of this dunya, it's just the near. It's temporary. It cannot be the best if it's just for this life. And it can never equal the reward of the hereafter. Any reward that anybody gets in this world will come to an end. But the rewards of the hereafter will last forever. So we can't even compare the two. Because this dunya is just temporary. It's the reward of dunya. Its reward is limited. So Allah does not say that the reward of dunya is excellent. He doesn't describe that as husna. But he says that the reward of the hereafter, the akhirah, is husna. It is excellent. And who is it for? The muhsineen, those who are the good doers, those who do everything to the level of ihsan. The next ayah begins with Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, which means O believers, and that includes all the believers, those with a weak iman who struggle to follow Allah's orders, and they're doing the bare minimum, as well as those with strong iman, like Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was. The hypocrites and the Jews of Medina started talking about deen after the defeat at Uhud, when the Muslims had lost. They questioned how Islam could be the true religion when the Muslims lost the battle. And so many were martyred when the Messenger of Allah was with them. They were spreading negative propaganda against deen, just like many people do nowadays, saying that the Muslims would not be suffering if Islam was the true religion. The hypocrites and Jews from Medina said that the Muslims should not have listened to some emotional young men who wanted to go out and fight against such a powerful enemy. And they tried to poison other people's minds against Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying that if he was the true messenger of Allah, how would his decision have been wrong? How could it have been wrong? So they accused him of making a bad decision to go and fight out of Medina. And when people start doubting their leader, they fail as a group. So the hypocrites and Jews tried to target the leader. They tried to target Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they tried their best to create doubts in the minds of the Muslims about him. Some were actually influenced by them, by everything they said. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O believers, if you yield to the disbelievers, the word itaat is the root word here, and that means to obey. But the first step in obedience is to listen. So you know how to obey or follow, right? Because it's after we listen that we know what to do. Like when we tell people to study the Quran, we tell them to listen first so they know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to do. Right? So they can understand it and they're able to obey Him. So, in tuti'u, so if you listen and obey and you follow, alladhina kafaru, the disbelievers and the hypocrites and Jews who spread negative propaganda about Islam, يَرُدُّوكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ, they will turn you back upon your heels, meaning that they will drag you back to disbelief. فَتَنْقَلِبُوا خَاسِرِينَ, then you will become the losers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns the believers that you will be of those who end up in Jahannam if you're influenced by what they're saying. And when is it that people are influenced by negative propaganda? When people are weak inside, when their iman is not strong enough. Why is it that the great Sahaba, the great companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like Abu Bakr Siddiq, Umar, and Ali radiallahu anhum, were not influenced by anything the hypocrites and Jews said? Why didn't it bother them? Why didn't it matter to them, whatever they were saying? Because they were firm on the path of Allah. They were so devoted to Allah. So nobody dared to say anything against Islam in front of them. However, it's when others know that someone is not firm in their beliefs that they try to lead them astray. And this happens a lot to Muslims nowadays. The disbelievers who plot against the Muslims target our youth, and they create doubts in their minds about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They criticize some of the things he did without telling them the whole story, the background of why certain events took place. They don't tell them all the information, but they criticize him. And people who don't have enough knowledge about his life, or people who have not studied his seerah, they become victims to those people. Okay, they are led astray by them. They start believing all the negative things those people say to mislead them, whether it's negative things about our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or his companions. So it's very important for us all to learn about their lives, to be familiar with everything they did, and understand Islam well. Otherwise, the enemies of Islam will try their best to mislead you, just as they always have tried. يَرُدُّوكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. They will turn you back on your heels. They don't care to make you convert to their religion. They just want you to lose your religion. And it seems like they are pretty successful, which is because we don't study our own religion. They actually study our religion more than us, just so they can sit there and pick out points to mislead innocent Muslims who don't have much knowledge of their own religion. But we still don't bother to learn about Islam properly. That's what the problem is. They try to extinguish this light, this nur of Islam. But Allah has promised that He will not let it happen. And it won't happen as long as there are people like you around. People who prioritize Islam over everything else, over their families, their homes, their jobs, everything. As long as people like you take out time to seek knowledge of Islam and you use your energy and your wealth in the way of Allah and raise your children according to Allah's rules, the enemies of Islam cannot harm you in any way. They will not stop trying, but they will fail as long as you have knowledge of the Quran and you teach others around you. Honestly, most Muslim men nowadays are so busy with trying to earn a living that they're not able to do much else besides that. But it's the Muslim women who can do so much to educate the next generation properly, so they can be trained to be good Muslims. The women can do so much to raise their children or their grandchildren according to deen. And they can teach them deen so their roots are grounded. This should be our mission in life. Instead of competing with each other on appearances and status, if the people who study the Quran waste their time competing for useless things like that, who is going to educate the next generation of Muslims about Islam? We have to focus on deen too, instead of constantly just thinking and worrying about this worldly life. Because this life is so temporary. We have to study Islam and implement its teachings. And we should aim for the revival of deen. Every one of us has to think that it's my responsibility to do this. That's the only way we can succeed. And make dua to Allah that He selects us for His work. So this isn't just about what happened after the Battle of Uhud. It applies now too. When our iman is not strong enough, we are easily impressed by others, the ways of the non-Muslims, and we seek instructions from them instead of Allah. We have to learn about our religion so we can value it and we can love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we would be strong enough to protect our iman, and no plotting would be able to harm us in any way. Also, we have to focus on strengthening the iman of our youth by teaching them about it. Teach them about Islam. And another important thing, we should never think about listening to someone who speaks against Islam or read things that are against Islam. Because when we are not knowledgeable enough about our own religion, we are easily affected by whatever others may be saying against it. So we shouldn't even risk doing that. And if we start following their ways, they will definitely turn us away from Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us this. And what happens then? Many people think that they would be considered open-minded or modern. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear that turning away from Islam would be the biggest loss, because that means ending up in the hellfire forever. بَلِلَّهُ مَوْلَاكُمْ. Rather, Allah is your protector. Remember that. People follow the disbelievers because they want their support or they want help from them and they think that life will be easier. They want to be like the disbelievers just so they accept the Muslims. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that only He is your Mawla. He is the only one who helps you and protects you. He is your best friend, the one who supports you. Nobody else can be your Mawla. وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ النَّاسِرِينَ. And He is the best of all helpers. Don't follow others or expect them to help you. They will not be there for you when things are difficult. Only Allah will help you. And only with His support will you succeed. When the polytheists of Mecca were ready to leave after they defeated the Muslims at the Battle of Uhud, Abu Sufyan stood on Jabal Uhud, Mount Uhud, and he asked loudly, "Is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam among you?" Meaning, is he alive? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the Sahaba not to reply. Then Abu Sufyan asked, "Is Abu Quhafa's son among you?" He meant Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Even Abu Sufyan knew that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was the next person in line that he should ask about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though he was a kafir. So how can Muslims argue about this now and say that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu should not have been the Khalifa or the successor after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Even non-believers knew, the disbelievers, that he was next in line. So he asked about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, but Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped the companions from responding. Then he asked, "Is Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu among you?" So he was basically asking if they are alive. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the Sahaba again not to respond. Then Abu Sufyan said, "Good, we have done away with those three." When Umar radiallahu anhu heard this, he lost his temper and he said, O enemy of Allah, the ones you just called out to are all alive, and Allah has kept them alive as a means to disgrace you. Abu Sufyan then said, the bodies of those who were killed from among you were mutilated, even though I had not ordered this to happen, but I didn't mind that this was done. Mutilation of bodies after a war was considered bad even back then, but he made it clear that it didn't bother him that his side did that to the martyred Muslims. Then he called out, exalted is Hubal. Hubal was their big idol. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam then told the Sahaba to reply to him. The Sahaba asked what they should say, so he instructed them to say, Allah is the most exalted and he is above all. Next, Abu Sufyan yelled out, Lana al-Uzza wa la Uzza lakum. He meant, we have Uzza and you don't have an Uzza. Uzza was another important idol of theirs. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the Sahaba to reply to him by saying, Allahu maulana wa la maula lakum. Allah is our maula. He is our protector, our guardian. And you don't have a maula. You don't have a protector. That is what the Sahaba had said at that time. And just saying, Allahu maulana, is so comforting because it reminds us that we are not alone. We are never alone because Allah is on our side. He is our protector. And He is the owner of the whole universe. So we don't need to be afraid of anything. And this tells us how close the believers always are to Allah. How strong their connection is to Allah. And when a believer says this, he or she basically means that I have left all others and taken you as my protector, O Allah. Don't leave me alone. I trust you alone. Allahu Mawlana. This is something very powerful that we should say often, especially when Muslims are going through so much right now. Once we remember that Allah is our Mawla, we are certain that we are not helpless and we don't need any other Mawla or protector. Whether it's some idol like Uzza or some superpower the enemy takes as their Mawla. When we have the support of Allah, we don't need anyone else because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ خَيْرُ النَّاسِرِينَ. And He is the best of all helpers. Nobody can be better at helping. The hypocrites and Jews had started saying that the Muslims would not have lost the battle if Allah was on their side. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies that it was all a part of the test. Allah is with the believers. He is the helper of the Muslims. Allahu waliyul ladina amanu. Allah is the close friend. He is the protector. He is the guardian of the believers. He is their wali. He is their helper. He looks out for them. Sanulki, soon we shall cast fi kulubi alladhina kafaru, into the hearts of the disbelievers ar-ru'b, the terror, bima ashraku, because they commit shirk or associate partners billah, with Allah, ma lam yunazil bihi sultana, for which he has revealed no authority, meaning shirk. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he would cast terror into the hearts of the disbelievers because they commit shirk. And that is exactly what happened then. When the mushrikeen of Makkah were going back after the Battle of Uhud, they stopped at Hamraul Asad and they realized that they had not really done much to harm the Muslims. So they wanted to go back and hurt the Muslims further, because they didn't think it was a proper victory that they had left the battleground while the Muslims were still there. They were the ones who left. So they didn't think they were really victorious. But then they suddenly felt terror. Why? They were planning to go back and then they suddenly were afraid. And why did that happen? Because of their shirk. Because of them associating partners with Allah, when He has not sent any proof of it. This means that the person who only believes in Allah does not ever feel afraid of anyone. However, the polytheists are afraid of many things. The person who only believes in Allah knows that nothing can harm him or her until Allah allows. So Tawheed makes that person fearless of everything else. But we see now that lots of Muslims have started being afraid of others. And they're always fearful, thinking about how others can harm them. And that is because their belief in Tawheed, their belief in one Allah, is not strong enough. And we know that Allah made enemies terrified of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were in awe of him, even when they were a month's distance away. But in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not just tell us about that. Okay, that they used to fear him. He talks about the regular believers too. The believers with a strong belief in Tawheed do not fear death or other powers, because they get their strength from Tawheed, from the belief in one Allah. The stronger their Tawheed, the stronger their faith, the more fearless they become. And the disbelievers lack courage because of the shirk they are caught up in. And if we start to notice that believers are afraid of the disbelievers instead, it means that we as the Muslims have weak iman, and our basic belief of Tawheed or belief in one Allah is also weak. It's not strong enough. The weaker someone's Tawheed is, the bigger coward that person is. And we see proof of Tawheed all around us. Everything in the universe exclaims that there is one Allah controlling everything. Everything in the universe testifies that there is only one Allah who created everything and He sustains it. But there is no proof of shirk whatsoever. So for the polytheists, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَأْوَاهُمُ النَّارِ, and the hellfire is their abode. That is where they're going to end up. وَبِئْسَ مَثْوَى الظَّالِمِينَ, and evil is the home of the wrongdoers. Those who associate partners with Allah are the wrongdoers, and shirk is the greatest form of wrongdoing, the greatest injustice. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم. وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. آمين يا رب العالمين. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به. واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا. أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.